What I'd like to talk about today is the reconstruction of my Patriot ancestor's home. His name is William Ebenezer Brockett. Last year, we began the program of having each of us who wanted to give about a five-minute talk on your Patriot ancestor, and I had done that. I think it was about last April when I gave that presentation. He was originally from Wallingford, Connecticut, and he left there at an early age, I believe around 22 or so, moved to New Bern, North Carolina, where he married his wife, Patsy. Then, shortly after that, enlisted in the Revolutionary War and fought primarily in campaigns in South Carolina. And he was in for a total of 7 years, attaining the rank of captain. Now, I gave that presentation, and that talk was posted on our Piedmont Chapter website. And Chuck Rand is very faithful about keeping up with all of that, and it's out there for the world to see. And truly, the world is looking, and I can attest to that, because I got a phone call about a year later. It started out, "You don't know me, but I want to talk to you about your fourth great-grandfather, William Brockett." And it turned out it was an individual in Tennessee who was involved in researching information about the Brockett family. So we talked quite a bit on the phone. It turns out that he was part of a team that was taking the house, the family house of Brockett, that was in Smith County, Tennessee, moving it over to Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Now, there's a lady there, Beverly Elliott, who has a strong interest in Revolutionary War homes and a fairly large piece of property. So she really underwrote the task of taking that house, dismantling it, and reassembling it to its true look over on her land. And what I want to talk about today is that whole process, but emphasizing the fact that I wouldn't have even become involved in this at all were it not for what was posted on our internet site. So the world typically, if you do a Google search on William Ebenezer Brockett, you'll find my picture among a lot of the others that are out there from the celebration that I was fortunate enough to go to be part of with the rest of my family. So let's get started and see what we have. That's part of the Brockett Cemetery, and it was right across the street from where that house was located. And this is what the house looked like before it was sold. Kind of a nondescript little one-story or two-story house with siding just along the side of the road. And over on this side, away from the house, was the family cemetery for the Brockett family. But if you drove by it, there would be no reason for you to think that that was a Revolutionary War log home. So when they began to take it apart, you could see, with the siding gone, what remained were actually logs, and you can see that they were notched to fit and that sort of thing. But it still wasn't a whole lot to look at. When the house was sold, it was bought by someone in the Brockett family who in turn sold the logs to the group that was reassembling it over in Mount Juliet. During the demolition process, this is what the second story looked like. And off in the distance to the right, you can see some headstones, and that's actually the Brockett family cemetery. And if you take a closer look at it, that's where it is. And that's still there. That hasn't been relocated. There's a historical marker for it, and that's the headstone for William Brockett. Now, when they came over to the new property, obviously they took some liberty in creating a foundation, but that's the footprint of what the house was going to start to stand on. You could begin to see as the logs, which were milled on both sides, so they're flat surfaces and notch, would begin to take shape on that foundation. And as that went along, they constructed the corners, began to frame out the windows, and as that progressed, you had the shape of the doorways and the windows, and then the top deck floor joists were coming in. And as that went along, you can see in this case, there are windows, but this is an end of the house where on that big opening on the side, that's where the cooking fireplace was going to be. And this is really the back porch. And another fireplace would be on the other side that you can't see. Then they began to construct, it's all stick built at this point, construct the roof truss system. They didn't get pre-engineered lumber trusses or anything like that. They built it all as best they could to replicate what the house looked like. And they began to put the roof on it and added the back porch and began to put in the windows. Now, if you take a closer look at the detail on the side there, the big opening is a fireplace, but they were putting in screening in between the logs so that they could put in mortar joints on both the inside and the outside of the house. Typically, when the house was originally constructed, the mortar joints were just mud. But this time around, they did use a cement mortar to put it together. And as you can see now, the mortar joints are pretty well filled in, and the roof shingles are in and still in process of being constructed. So all these guys were really pretty skilled craftsmen that were volunteering to put this project together. And I've come out of the building construction industry, and I was fascinated by looking at this, and just from a standpoint of history, just to see how this was all done was really pretty amazing. This is kind of a general overview at one point in time of what that construction looked like. And you're looking at this point at the back porch and the back side, the front roof. It's a little distorted because of the camera angle. It's actually wider than that, but that's what it began to look like as an overall view. Then the stone masons came in. They're building the outside of the cooking fireplace here, and that work continued inside. So part of the cooking oven was a big fireplace, and then what was called a beehive oven in stone next to it. So there's an opening down in the bottom where wood would go in, and the items that you were baking would go up in the top of that when it's constructed. You'll see what it looks like. On the other side, the smaller fireplace was going in, and that was typically to warm the house when cooking wasn't going on, because obviously you'd get a lot of heat driven off by that cooking fireplace. When this phase was done, cooking fireplace was over there, and a plank floor was installed to keep the same features that the original house had. So essentially it looked exactly the same as it had before. Because of construction dimension changes, it might have been a foot wider, than originally, but basically it was pretty true to the original design. And this is what it looked like from the front, the entrance with a little porch.
And the window frames are from the 17th century. She purchased those.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're old as well.
Most of the material.
They weren't part of the house originally, but they're from the period. And that's the back porch. And you can notice the wood supply for the fireplaces and the bathtub sitting out there waiting for the family to have their monthly bath. Now, if you subscribe to something that I've noticed over the years in photographs, you'll notice two orbs that are over that bathtub. Now, typically, it's said that they may represent the spirit of someone associated with that dwelling. So if you can envision that, that could be William Brockett and his wife Patsy still hanging around to enjoy the new structure. Now, when you get inside, it was built and furnished pretty true to that period of time. This is looking at the cooking fireplace. And you can see that the logs are whiter looking because they whitewash the interior. But in between the logs is still the large mortar joint. And the back porch door and the front door are seen. So it's a pretty small dwelling. But when you stop to look at what it represented, He raised a family of 11 in that house.
No go to your room to one of your kids, right?
No, it didn't mean much. What it probably would mean is going upstairs to the sleeping room, which was actually just a room as well. Looking the other way at the warming fireplace, that's the view that you had, and you'll notice a staircase going up along the back wall, and if you went up the staircase, it's just an open plank floor room up there, and that was the sleeping quarters. That's where the family would all sleep, and flooring was left open above the fireplace at this end and back over the cooking fireplace to let the heat rise and warm that room, and then heat obviously rises anyway, but it will get trapped up there and give you a warm spot to be asleep. So if you think about it a little bit, envision William Brockett coming back home, came in off his back porch just around dinner time, dinner's cooking in the fireplace, something nice was baking in the oven. And then after dinner, maybe he just sat by the fireplace and kind of reflected on his day. But it was a great experience to be part of all this, and we were invited as a family to come over and be the guest for a celebration that they had. And the gentleman who made the contact with me, Jeff Page, comes over to Atlanta periodically, and I arranged to have dinner with him and Linda one night so we could talk more about it and figure out some dates and that sort of thing. And he sent me these pictures Rip took of the house and the interior, but all the construction pictures plus many, many more were all provided by Jeff in a process of going through that reconstruction. So my gratitude is definitely out to Jeff Page for reaching out, finding us in the world of the internet, and inviting us to be part of all of that. And it's still there. They're still adding interior touches to it, I understand. And hopefully we'll get a chance to get back over there again sometime.
Well, thank you.
I imagine it.